When we lived in Surrey County, just north of Winston-Salem, the route we took once we got into the north side of Winston was to whether we were going to shop, eat, or go to one of the main hospitals, had overpasses on it. And someone had spray painted this on one of them, "Try Jesus." And maybe you think of it this way, try Christianity, try following Jesus. As someone has said, Christianity was not tried and found wanting, it was found difficult and left untried. This morning I'm starting a series of messages to answer the question, is Jesus worth it? Well, the short answer is yes, Jesus is worth it. He is worth whatever the world throws at you, trying to dissuade you from following him. I'm not encouraging you to be religious. All religion is man's attempt to have a God that can be controlled. I want these messages to encourage you to follow Jesus, to think like, act like, become like Jesus. Obey him. So let's begin to answer the question, is Jesus worth it? I'm in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," and again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me"? And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "And let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire?" But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they all will become old like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment they will also be changed, but you are the same. And your years will not come to an end. But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" Is Jesus worth it? Jesus is worth it because he spoke for God. Jesus is a reliable communicator. God's revelation through the Son is the highest, fullest, and most complete that he can give. There was no addendum on Christ. He is the message of God. Well, the writer of Hebrews begins much like John did. In the beginning, where John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The writer of Hebrews said that God spoke long ago to the fathers, to those who came before us, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. God spoke, but it was a trickle, not a fire hose. Man's finiteness cannot comprehend the full glory and essence of God. He spoke to the fathers, those who came before us, about what they needed to hear, what they needed to understand, what they needed to obey. And while it may have seemed like a trickle, it maintained the same arc. What God said to Moses or God said to Abraham is the same thing that he's saying to us. And that is to love God with all of our hearts and to follow him with all that we are. He has maintained that same ark. God was at work reconciling the world back to himself. Each Old Testament prophet gave part of the message of God. And these parts were given in many ways. They were given in dreams. They were given in visions. They were given in direct revelation. All of these things were used. There is indeed a diversity of form and content of the revelation from God. The parts of the revelation of God are different. He gave law. He gave history. He gave psalms. He gave prophecy. He gave lessons. He gave signs. He gave symbols. They were all used to convey God's message. And this message all pointed to Jesus. When Jesus came, God began to speak through him, his son. God began to speak through Jesus. Jesus has been appointed the bearer of all things. He possesses all things. All of creation speaks of his glory. The beginning of redemptive history in the Garden of Eden, where God told the serpent, the devil, Satan, that he would crush his head, had in fact been accomplished through Jesus. Jesus is worth it because he is the mediator of revelation. He is the agent and sustainer of creation, and he is the reconciler of man back to God. Jesus is worth it because he spoke for God. In the year and a half that I worked for Walmart as an assistant manager, I got to enjoy 4 store setups, 2.5 weeks a pop. You just prayed, because a store setup back in those days at least was 5 weeks long, and it was 2.5 weeks and 2.5 weeks. You just hoped if you knew you were going on a store setup, you were on the first crew, you'd get 1 day off. That was it. Because if you got in on the second crew, you wouldn't get any days off, 14, 16-hour days. That was just normal. What was great about it was the home office would put out plans for the counters, every aisle. But not each store fit their plans. And each store had what was called flex space. There are counters in every store, the store that's here, that is seasonal. They do something different with it all the time. So as we worked to set up the store, we worked under the supervision then of the store manager, the setup manager, the district manager, and anyone that came to the store from Bentonville, Arkansas, home office. And none of them seemed to know what anyone else thought about the way the store should look, particularly those flex sections. And so the store manager or the setup manager may say, do this. And then the next guy would come through and say, no, why are we doing that? Do this. And then the third guy would come through and say, do this. And finally the store setup man said, go with the last word you heard. Well, the last word we have heard is from and about Jesus. The Gospels are about Jesus. The rest of the New Testament explains and fleshes out and applies what Jesus said and did. Now, don't take my story about Walmart days to imply that what Jesus said and what was said about him differs or contradicts the Old Testament. This idea that we need to unhitch from the Old Testament is not wise nor sound theology. The more recent notion that the Ten Commandments are not for Christians is not sound theology either. We are to understand what the Old Testament says and why it says it. Legalism is not the answer, nor is becoming Orthodox Jews, but God spoke in and through the Old Testament. He did, he is, he will. All of it pointing to what Jesus would do. Thankfully, God took on human form, lived among us, went to the cross to die for us, defeated the grave. Sin and death were defeated that first Easter morning when Jesus was resurrected by the power of God. We worship Jesus because he spoke for God. Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it because he spoke as God. Not only did he speak for God, he spoke as God. Jesus is a reliable leader. Jesus, as the Son of God, is exactly the same in glory, exactly the same in nature, and exactly the same in essence as God the Father. The glory of Jesus is the radiance of God the Father's glory. Jesus is the light or splendor of God's glory, being in the likeness of the Father. Jesus is the radiance of the eternal light. Jesus shines forth as the Father does. Jesus is the shining forth of God's glory. Jesus is the exact same as the Father in nature. Yet this is precisely what the writer declares concerning the Son: eternal, holy, righteous, true, faithful, just, kind, gracious, merciful, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And I've left something out and I don't know what it is, but God is great. And so is Jesus. He is the same. God the Father is all of these, and Jesus the Son is all of these. Jesus is also the essence of God the Father. He has the same inherent power, the same nature as the Father. That power Jesus uses to providentially govern all of creation. Jesus is worth it because he spoke as God. Now I'm going to read something to you, and I got to tell you, I got to admit to you, I have read this quote 6, 8, 10, 12 times, and I'm talking about just Friday. And I'm not sure I understand it all. And I would be glad to give you a written form of it. But Jonathan Edwards summed it up well, so listen. If a man could have an absolutely perfect idea of all that passed in his mind, all the series of ideas and exercises in every respect perfect, as to order, degree, circumstances, etc., for any particular space of time past, suppose the last hour, he would really, to all intents and purposes, be over again what he was that last hour. Did you get that? What did you think about an hour ago? What were your exact thoughts? What was it last week? I can't even tell you what I did yesterday, much less what I thought yesterday. Jonathan Edwards. And if it were possible for a man by reflection perfectly to contemplate all that is in his own mind in an hour, as it is and at the same time that it is there in its first and direct existence, if a man had a perfect reflex or contemplative idea of every thought at the same moment or moments that that thought was, and of every exercise at and during the same time that exercise was, and so through a whole hour, a man would really be two. He would be indeed double. He would be twice at once. The idea he has of himself would be himself again. Therefore, as God with perfect clearness, fullness, and strength understands himself, views his own essence in which there is no distinction of substance and act, but it is holy substance and holy act, that idea which God has of himself is absolutely himself. This representation of the divine nature and essence is the divine nature and essence again. So that by God's thinking of the deity must certainly be generated. Hereby there is another person begotten. There is another infinite, eternal, almighty, and most holy the same God, the very same divine nature. And this person is the second person in the Trinity, the only begotten and dearly beloved Son of God. He is the eternal, necessary, perfect, substantial, and personal idea which God has of himself. And that it is so seems to me to be abundantly confirmed by the word of God. Amen and amen. God spoke, Jesus spoke, and speaks as God spoke. Are you listening? Are you obeying? We sometimes make the mistake that when God speaks, it will be some mystical, supernatural event. I will admit, I have wished more than once that God would write his will, his direction for my life, to make a decision about something that was going on in my life at the time, that he would write it in the sky. I am still looking for that. But he has spoken to me through his word. I remember hearing or talking with a guy, and I had asked him some question, and he said, well, God hadn't revealed that to me yet. And I wanted to say to them right now, oh, yes, he has. You just don't know what he says. And whose fault is that? Mine? No. Would be for my life. But if you don't know what God's word says about something, it's your fault. It's your fault. What we hold to as Scripture is the Word of God has been agreed upon since the 300s. 347, I forget when the different councils came together and said, this is it. The Old Testament was agreed upon long before that. And if you think of other world religions, Islam, for instance, they do not hold to any part of our Scripture. More recent false religions such as Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses hold to much more recent additions to Scripture. If God is so powerful, why did it take him 1900 and some years after Jesus' death to get his word to us? And that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses would say. Why did it take him so long? If God is so powerful, why did it take him so long? And why in both of those is salvation by works when it is clearly by grace? Well, it's pretty obvious to me. If it's by works, then I can control you. You're not saved because you're not doing enough. But if it's by grace, ultimately, all we have to do is accept it and believe it and live by it. And what do you think Joseph Smith was doing when he stood up one day and declared that God told him to take another wife? We worship Jesus because he spoke for God. He spoke as God. Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it because he is better than the angels. Jesus is a reliable Savior. He is worthy of worship. When the task that Jesus was sent to do was accomplished, he took his place back in heaven, his place of glory and honor. When the sacrifice to pay the price for all of mankind's sins had been done, the purification of sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. The hand of honor of anyone important is always which hand? The right hand. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was able to rightfully take that place because he is better than the angels. Remember who told the shepherds of Jesus' birth? Remember the description of it? An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. But Jesus is better than the angels. Let's read again verse 5 on. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. So there's that close relationship that the writer is speaking of. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companion. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they all will become old like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? The relationship of Jesus to the Father is described. His worthiness of worship is highlighted. His work of creation is mentioned. And the ultimate victory that will be his concludes that section. The angels would serve and worship Jesus because he is better than they are. A very popular genre of movies and television shows is about supernatural creatures possessing great skill and great power. Think of Superman, Batman, Star Wars, the Avengers, Captain America, Transformers. Who have I left out? I've left out somebody. But we're all about that. We're all about that. We're all about the supernatural. Jesus is the only one who has supernatural skill or power. We all want a hero. We all want someone to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And Jesus is that hero. Jesus holds supernatural skill and power. So we are to follow him, obey him. We are to do as he says. Jesus spoke all of creation into existence. You can trust him. You can follow him, and you should obey him. You should follow him so that you think like, act like, and become like him. You should obey him. Let me tell you, following Jesus may have been found difficult and left tried, but let me say to you very clearly, Jesus is worth it. I don't know what you're going to face this week. I don't know what kind of challenges. I don't know what kind of threats or whatever it may be, however you're going to term it. But I know this, that what Jesus has said about life and how to live it, follow it. He is a trustworthy leader. Do you know him this day? Have you come to church this morning because you want to try to be religious? I'm not asking you to try to be religious. I'm asking you to try to be a follower of Christ and trust him to give you the grace. But it's going to take everything that you are, because you've got to give it all away. You've got to give it to him and let him lead you and give you the power and the strength to do what he says. Do you know him today? And it may very well be that you're in the middle somewhere. Life has thrown you stuff that ought not be in anybody's life, but it's yours. Do what Jesus says. Is he worth it? Yes, he is.